Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo Abdelbaki. This is my little corner of the world. And welcome to my little corner of the world. You can share my little corner of the world with me. Sit down, relax. Take some time with me, won't you? You know, the world is a strange place. Man, is it a weird place to be. And we're lucky to be here. You know, it's a very limited engagement. That's a fact. It's a fact. It's a limited engagement. And we have to appreciate every single moment that we have. As I've mentioned probably about a billion times, we lost our dog, Trudy. And she was with us for 8 wonderful years. 8 beautiful years. Actually, about 8.5 total. And almost to the day. Well, not quite, but... And what a joy she was in our life. She wasn't here long enough, frankly. I expected she'd be here about 6-7 years longer, but wasn't to be. And every day, that's the thing about dogs and cats and other animals that we take as pets, other than like parrots and tortoises, is that they have a limited lifespan with us. And every single day that she was with us, I knew that her time with us was limited. And so I absolutely always said, I love this day with her. And I cherish this day with her. And it's absolutely wonderful. And I never, ever, ever took her for granted. And, you know, I have that attitude about people, too. Every day with everyone I love, every day with anyone I know, I consider to be blessed and wonderful. And I mean that with you too. I know that I won't always have this benefit, this blessed radio show that I get to do. My good friend Mark, he says, well, you want to do a radio show? And I say, howdy doody, yes, absolutely. And, and what a great full sort of thing it is for me to do. I love it. And that includes the people in my life, because a lot of the people in my life, well, at my age, a lot of them aren't around anymore. So I'm just going to say to you, take advantage of every single day. And don't think to yourself, it's always going to be here, because it isn't always going to be here. I live indoors. I may not always live indoors. I'm alive. I'm certainly not always going to be alive. So every single day is amazing. And they're not all, you know, like get up in the morning and kick your heels and say, you know, I feel great. I threw my back out when you've got a little puppy, and what a wonder she is. I'm just basically another chew toy for her. My wife is, you know, her person right now. And that may be the way it always is. And truthfully, I was Trudy's person. So I guess it's a trade-off, you know. I guess my wife deserves to have the adoration, you know. Then again, Coco, and that's her name. Not as in Chanel, as in the lovely, delightful, chocolatey drink that you get to warm up with in the winter because of her color. And I guess her official color is called Café au lait, but that's a bit pretentious, I think. She's got white paws, just the tips of her paws, the tip of her tail, and a tuft of white on her head, and her chest has got some white on it. And she's beautiful, and she's sweet, but I am a chew toy to her, and we're working on that, you know, because no one likes that. But she's awfully nice. And I look at her and I think, enjoy this time. Enjoy this time. You know that puppy breath? Man, I love that. And it's gone already. But she's growing. My goodness, she's growing. And I say, enjoy it now, because soon enough she'll be a dog. and won't be a puppy anymore. And I love the puppy stage, even though it means getting up 3 or 4 times a night, and even though it means potty break, potty break, potty break, and little accidents in the house, and having to get the carpet cleaned, and, you know, all that stuff. But life is about movement. Life is about motion. Life is about being here now. Be here now. Be here now. Be here now. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing, life. It is a wonderful thing, life. Being a wonderful thing. Yes, indeed. And so I threw my back out. And it was pretty darn rough. I had back surgery when I was in my 30s. And that's been a yonder ago. Quite a yonder. Kind of a long time. And it's been a while since I've thrown it out as bad as it was. And so that wasn't every morning waking up. As a matter of fact, it was in the middle of the night hurting, and in the day, it just hurt almost all the time. Not much I could do about it except wait it out. And yet, I was still glad to be here. Because there are people with a lot bigger problems than I've got. And, So I urge you to take advantage of life and to take advantage of this time in your life. And yeah, things are weird right now. I've said that before. But those of you who are politically inclined, who keep an eye on the political world, and who were completely bummed out a week ago, do you find that you're feeling a little bit better now? Do you find that that may be the case right now? Do you find that you're feeling a little bit more at ease? Right? Did old Mo tell you? Uncle Mo? Did Uncle Mo tell you to relax a little bit, that things would probably ease up? Did I? Well, now you know why. Okay, you have to trust in things. Not everything always works out. That's true. That's right. Not everything does. But there were signs on the horizon. You know, just like the magic eight ball. Signs point to yes. Well, they certainly did. So things, I think, are going to work out just fine. Just fine. So today, by the way, for the record, what record is that? Well, it's 33 and a third revolutions per minute. Today is the 24th of July. It is exactly 1 week till the end of July. Yes, it is. And then we're going to be entering August. And with August comes Lunasa. Lunasa. Festival of the beginning of the autumn festival. Festival of the beginning of the autumn festival. That's festival twice. That's festival squared. Square festival. With that, you get a square meal. Maybe it's a cubic meal. But the point is that season's about to change. And of course, many people are saying, wait a minute, we just got into summer. Which is, theoretically true. But we're heading toward Lunasa. The Festival of Loaves, right? Festival of Loaves. What's all that about? Well, we'll talk about that next week, maybe. That seems like a good thing to talk about how the grain was assessed. Go out in the field and say, well, is there any smut on it? Yeah, we'll talk a little smutty next week. Don't get excited. Don't get... And those of you listening in who are judging things, say, oh, we're going to have to put him in a camp? No, you won't. Well, you will maybe for other things. I don't know. But you won't for this, because smut, as you know, is a form of blight on a crop. We'll talk about some things. Maybe we won't. Maybe I'll forget between now and then. After all, I'm getting old. I have to learn to talk like this. You think people talk like that when they get old? Because they get old? No, they take them to school. Say, now you have to learn to talk like this. After these things like dag-nabbit. 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 I like that. I do live in the West, you know. I live right up against the Rocky Mountains. Yeah, I remember going up there with my Rocky Mountain canary. Yeah, I used to call my wife. Ex-wife, that is. My first wife, who was my future ex-wife at the time. I'd call her, oh, my little Rocky Mountain canary. Yeah, and she just loved that. Of course, she didn't know that that was another word for a mule. Right? Haw, hee, haw, hee, haw, hee, haw. Yes, indeed. Then she found out. I don't know how she found out, because I didn't tell her. That's another story completely. That's right. Then I used to call her my little Xanthippe. Xanthippe was the wife of Socrates. Drove him right into the arms of another man. That's another story. Anyway, that's just kind of fits right into... right into my theme for today. Last week I mentioned that I was in a grocery store parking lot and trying to pull out, and suddenly there was a honking of horns, and a man came out and he got out of his car and he called a woman a fat Grinch, but he didn't call her a Grinch. Kind of sounds like the word Grinch, but it starts with a B, and he called her a name, and he didn't call her nice names after that either, and he started yelling and making wild gesticulations, one of which was with one hand and only one finger on that hand. And he was very upset and very riled and very wild. Wild and riled, and none of him smiled. And it was just ridiculous. And we had, in that little period of time, there were several road rage incidents. And this was after the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. And that's what I sort of thought, well, that's what's going on here. People are just angry. They're angry. And with good reason. I mean, that's a terrible thing, but you don't take it out on other people. But he called her a fat Grinch with the amended parts that I told you about. And today I was thinking, how in the world does someone do that? Well, he wasn't overweight. He wasn't obese. Now, I've been dealing with my weight for most of my life. I was a pretty skinny kid until my mom and I went to Egypt when I was 7 years old. I was okay until then. I was normal, what we call normal. And when I got to Egypt, there was a tuberculosis outbreak going on, so they looked at me and said, well, kiddo, it's important that we fatten you up because of the TB outbreak. So they started feeding me like 5 meals a day, and it was pretty darn good food. For breakfast, they'd feed me like clotted cream, which is, you know, thick, heavy-duty cream with honey and bread. And then for, you know, like they'd give me an afternoon snack of onions, Kalamata olives, which I don't think were from Kalamata. I mean, Egypt has their own olives, but it was that type of olives and bread. And that was just two of the 5 meals, you know. And then there was breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and, you know, other things for breakfast. And that's what my life was like, you know. And plus, I was having emotional issues because my dad was in the U.S. and I was there, and they kept us there, and the government wouldn't let us leave. And so it was just, I mean, I was numb. And milk there, by the way, was water buffalo milk, which has 33% fat, butter fat, you know. And it was like, wowie kazowie. And they wanted to put some weight on me, so I gained like 40 pounds in 6 months or something. I was 7 years old. So I came back to the U.S. And by the way, these same people who fattened me up 11 years later when I went back, told me I needed to lose weight. And I thought, yeah, thanks a lot, buddy. You know, a collective buddy. I mean, nice people, my family, they love me, but they were so concerned. They'd say, your face is so pretty, but your body, your skin is big. That's their idiom for, wow, are you big? Wow, are you fat? You know. So, people, there's this thing, you know. I knew a guy. And he, when I was a Freemason, and he was talking about someone's wife. And he was talking about her, and it was so unexpected, you know, because he's saying, because he was like this big deal in the order, and he's talking about her, and he said, you know, blah, 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 blah. She's the sweetest person I have ever met. And my wife and I were talking to him, and he said, she's so kind and so sweet. And then he goes, but boy, is she ugly. And I was like, wow, it was like being slapped in the face. I thought, what is this? And it's like, how do people do this? How do people say these horrific things? And, you know, many times it's about women. And many times it's just like this horrific value judgment based upon people's appearances, you know, what you look. Now, I've been judged my entire life, because I looked different from the time I can remember. I was made fun of. And this is not a poor me thing, because there is no poor me thing, you know. But it was like, you know, hey, my nickname was Momo, you know. Hey, Momo, where's your mummy? You know, because they knew I was Egyptian. And I didn't get it. I'd say, well, my mom's at home, you know. And they would all laugh at me because I was kind of stupid. I really was kind of naive about things. I didn't get the joke. And so I grew up with this sort of thing. But that was just kids being mean. Kids being mean, you know. And they'd say, hey, Mo. When I got older, it changed. Mo, where's Larry and Curly? And I offered to show them my curly hair. And, of course, my hair is naturally curly. But I offered to show them other curly hair until I was caught by one of the playground teachers, you know, who, and that did not work out well for me at all. So, you know, I was also a wise guy. Cracking wise again, eh, young man? Yeah, and I also said, I'll show you Larry, too. And then that, I did not show them Larry. What can I say? But the offer was there. What can I say? But, you know, I had to be a jerk when I was dealing with jerks. And there were other things, being husky. It was the term in the clothing department. And kids would see me trying on husky jeans and husky clothing. And so, you know, that was just my life. That was just, and I was the first kid in the fourth grade. I was in the fourth grade to get glasses. You know, that was that. So the kid said, hey, four eyes. And I had absolutely no idea of what he meant. What was he talking about calling me four eyes? And I truly had no concept of what being called four eyes was about. I thought, I don't know what that means, calling me four eyes. And finally I asked this kid, what is he talking about calling me four eyes? And other kids are calling me four eyes. I said, what's he talking about? He said, your glasses. I said, I still don't get it. He said, well, you're, and finally I went, oh. And I thought, that's dumb. That is a stupid thing to call somebody, you know. And then they were making fun of me about being Egyptian. Then my dad came to class and gave a lecture about ancient Egypt and stuff. And from that cured it. Because my dad was like ultra cool. And when he left, they were like, oh, your dad is so neat. He's so cool, you know. And it's like, yeah, I know. So, but I grew up with all of that and being overweight. And the weight did not just melt off because I was back, because my mom was a heck of a cook, you know. And I'd gotten into this habit of eating a lot. And so, to this day, I mean, oh, there was this girl in high school. Can't remember her name. She was, I think, from the Netherlands. And she was truly quite stunning, but kind of strange, you know. She was an exchange student. Her parents, I think, hopped around the world a lot. And she had lived, like, in India, and she had lived here and there. And she was kind of shy and kept to herself. But she would walk up to me in the hall, and she would... She'd walk up and she'd rub my belly. Now, today, of course, you know, she'd be in counseling or therapy. And she would rub my belly and look up at me with these gorgeous icicle blue eyes. And she'd say, "You know, in many parts of the world, you would be considered incredibly handsome because you have weight on you. I think you're beautiful." And I would be shivering. I didn't know what to do. I mean, she was so pretty, and she would just look up at me and smile. And I'm like a sophomore in high school. I'm just shivering. I don't touch me. I was just so innocent. I'd like, I don't know what to do, you know. These kids would make fun of me. It was just awkward beyond comprehension. I think she wanted to do terrible things to me. I wish I could remember her name. She really was quite pretty. And probably, well, man. That sort of thing left me my whole life being like, I had no self-confidence. So much so that I had no clue that I was even... I thought I was an ogre. Maybe I am an ogre. But later in years, I used to teach tarot classes at the brick-and-mortar 12th house store on South Pearl Street in Denver, Colorado, which was, boy, you talk about a golden age. Holy mackerel. What a wonderful time that was. You know, go up the stairs. I wore clogs, wooden clogs back then, which I absolutely loved, you know. Mark hated them because it was like, sounded like a Clydesdale going up the stairs, you know, clump, clump, clump. He really did hate those shoes. He told me, he said, "I hate those shoes, you know." And I'd go up the stairs, but I would teach tarot. And I taught a couple other things, but and I had people tell me, not just one, but like many people told me they had crushes on me, and I was like completely oblivious, you know. I was married at the time, but you know, frankly, I wasn't happily married. But you know, it was like, didn't you know? And it's like, no, I had no clue. There was one lady who was so obvious that she would like expose herself to me, and other people would know what she was doing, and I didn't have a clue. Other people thought that I was like some sort of lunatic because I never said anything or let on, but she was like exposing her top to me all the time. And everyone else knew it but me. I was like, I thought she was just kind of just dressed badly, you know. It's just... And that's what happens when you are treated badly and you treat people badly, you know? I just had no clue, is that you really destroy people's self-esteem. So now I'm thinking about this woman that this guy called a fat Grinch, and I just hated it. And I thought about that, about how we're in a culture now. We are living in a culture where a guy can get out of his car and assault someone verbally like that because she honked at him. Now, granted, she was being, you know, I mean, who knows what the problem was? Maybe she was in a big hurry. Maybe she had to pee, You know, I mean, who knows? At my age now, I can understand that. But who knows what the problem was? But there's implications about where we are in our culture now that really bother me. And I think that you and I can maybe help this energetically a little bit. Maybe we can't, but we can at least observe and hopefully tone it down a little bit, because it really irritates me that this is where our world is headed. Now, I'm hoping now that there's a change in the energy, and if you haven't felt it, you're not sensing things the way maybe we should be sensing things. We should be trying to change the energy somewhat. I have felt a shift already. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't want to get political here, but things have changed now with Mr. Biden saying, I'm not going to run, and with Kamala Harris saying she is going to run. There's been a shift energetically, and I felt it before it changed, because I knew this was coming. Oh, yes, Mighty Mo. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. But this has been on the horizon for a long time. And I knew that it was just the wind was going to change. The shift was going to shift. And people all of a sudden are like, oh, whew, there, that's it. But now there's a completely different game happening. And with that, there can be a change in the dynamic of the entire country, and maybe, if we're lucky, the entire world at some point. Now, it's going to take some time, but the bullies are kind of, you know, look at, like, with Putin and with other leaders, and I'm not going to name any names, because that's when things get icky. But look at what's going on. There's war. I'm so tired of, what would happen if peace broke out, you know? I mean, what the heck? You know, it's like when you're 13 and you've got zits. You know, at 13, I wasn't a heavy acne guy, but I knew a lot of kids who had, I had some acne. I'm not saying I didn't have any. You know, maybe I have a picture somewhere. That would be cool. I could say, look, there's a, but I had a few zits, you know, not a lot. I had friends who had, like, oh my God, you know. And then when you grow up, your face breaks out in clarity, in clear face, without a lot of zits. Now, some people always have the scars of them, you know, and that should keep you say, okay, I remember those days. And the world will always have some of those scars, but things clear up. And for God's sake, wouldn't it be nice if the world just kind of cleared up? But why not? Why not? Why do we always have to fight? It's because people are greedy, and they have to make money off of warfare, and they have to make money off of pain, and they just, you know, everyone wants to, you know, Jared Kushner wanted to have resorts and hotels in Gaza, it's beautiful property there on the, you know, and it's like, wait a minute, people are living there, well, for a while anyway, and you think, wow, is that what all this is about? And you think, God, I hope not, because someone's karma is gonna really, really be blackened or charred or blued, or whatever the color that might be. It's going to be nasty, nasty, nasty. So why can't we have some peace? Well, I think that you and I can kind of help that out somewhat. You know, the implications of this guy getting out of the car and just calling her a fat Grinch, to me, remember, that's not the word, but you know, I'm not going to say the other, because it's a word I despise. Because it's just so heavy and so greasy, you know. It's like someone saying, yeah, I can touch them anywhere I want to. They let me because I'm a star. You know, that's so nauseating to me. It's so heavy duty. Ick. Ick. And yet, that's society right now. And you know, it's a pendulum. And it's a pendulum that is, unfortunately, just kind of icky poo. You know? Do we really need to have a world that's like that? Well, no, we don't. A world that applauds that and goes, oh, so clever. Oh, my. Oh, how clever is that? Well, it's not clever. It's not clever, and people laugh at it. The name calling. The name calling. So what we have is a society now that chortles at those words. By the way, that's a word that was invented by Lewis Carroll. I love that word. But it's the implications in our society is that of one of rudeness, of calling people names. And if we have a high-ranking official who calls people names, and we say that that's okay, if we can get on our social networks and see name-calling and trolling, I love that we call people on the internet trolls. We call them trolls. And when you think of the old fairy tales and we talk about trolls, and remember, you know, trolls are very specific creatures. They're not very attractive. They hide under bridges. They come out and they, you know, they can sometimes demand money, or they demand, you know, whatever. And they're not very nice creatures. They're offensive. They smell. They always smell, you know. And they ruin things. And they're always just discussing. Now, the trolls in Iceland are different. Yeah, they're kind of different. But this concept of these people who hide in behind something, then come out and attack people, and it's just, there's something really wrong about a society that allows such a thing, you know. Or this phenomenon of ghosting people. See, people who ghost each other. Ghosting. What a despicable act that is. People who don't have the... I've been ghosted. Not in a social sort of way. But a landscaper, you know, said, hey, you know, we wanted someone to landscape. He said, yep, I'll do the job. And it's like, okay, wonderful. Then when can we expect you? Excuse me. When... I'll call him and when can we expect you? I'm going to do the job. Okay, well, when will you be here? Crickets chirping, you know, desolate wind across the prairie. Nothing. Get in touch. Nothing. Leave messages. Nothing. No explanation, no reason why. Was it too small a job? You know, was it something I said? Was it the way I smelled? You know? I mean, and that happens a lot to people. And I would love to pin it on the generation. But that's not the reason. And you know it, I know it. It's because of the shifts in society. You know? And it's the same sort of thing as the world at large. There is a lack of civility. So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to call people out and go, why, you dirty rat? No, we don't do that. I mean, you could. You could say, you've been very rude. You're very, I don't know. What accent was that? That was very rude. I have no idea what accent that was. But I think all we have to do is just hold our own. And live the lives that we expect to live. Live the lives that we want to be exemplary of what we believe in. And I try to do that. I get riled sometimes. I do. I wish I could say I didn't. I never get upset. Ever. Now, I don't know what that was either. I like to do accents. I like to do it. You know, they're generic. I have no idea what they're supposed to be. Dagnabbit, I know. I know. I know what that is. Actually, I don't even know what that was. Get confused. So, we have a basic rudeness that is in our society right now. I see it all the time. I see it in person all the time. Now, I'm very polite to people because that's how I was raised. I try to be as polite to people as I can be, and it isn't always returned. But I believe that that's an important part of living in a civil society. Civil society. You know. If you lived in a civil society, you could go around saying, "The people, the people, the people." That's obscure. Some of you will get that. Maybe you won't. Maybe you won't. Wow. There may be something very wrong with me, but that's okay. So, I think that there are many ills with society in any given time. Certainly there are. You know, do you know that the first kiss on television between a white man or a white person and a black person was Sammy Davis Jr. kissing Nancy Sinatra? Now, it wasn't like a haul off and belter one on the lips. No. Nancy Sinatra she had a special, and Sammy Davis Jr. was on, and he kissed her on the cheek, I think. It was something very innocent. And there was an explosion of anger, especially in the South. I mean, it was just, oh my God, really? Is this going to be worth it? And of course, the big one was William Shatner and Nichelle Nichols, right? Uhuru and Captain Kirk. And that was a passionate kiss. And that was a big deal. Whew, was that a big deal. Big, 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 big deal. And that was the first bona fide, oh no, they didn't. But yes, they did. Yes, they did. And that there's always something. That was back 66, I think. 1966. Yeah. Yep. First time I saw Star Trek, Wally Beck's house, 1966, I was in Boy Scouts. I was over there trying to get a merit badge. And his family was watching Star Trek, and I was trying to do something, and I don't remember what it was. It was a tenderfoot. He was a first-class scout, and we were watching, and I don't even remember what we were doing. I said, I want to watch this show. I had never heard of it. I was a fan. That was it, you know. I thought, this is very cool. Man from U.N.C.L.E. Now, that's an interesting time, too, because we were it was about spies, and here comes this show about outer space, which is mostly about trying to talk about peace. 66, which was the real summer of love that bled into 67. Yes, it did. Interesting time. Interesting time. 67 was an interesting time. Society. And that's when Merchandiser said, we can make a lot of money off this hippie thing. And you know, it was a fun time. Because psychedelic stuff, psychedelia, blah, 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 posters, beads, love and peace. 68 was a very difficult time. That's when the ills of society came to head, just like the acne I was talking about earlier. Lots of pops. Lots of ugliness. Assassinations, the beating of students in Chicago. God almighty, what a time that was. And so it's nothing new, mind you. Nothing new. None of this is new. But what we're seeing now is a society of ridicule and anger. Making of names of people. Names, funny names, ha ha ha. Diminutive names, ha ha ha. Epithets that are ridiculous, ha ha ha. Childhood names. I mean, they used to call me names, you know? I remember some kids were mad at me once, and they they danced around in front, not danced around, they marched around in a circle shouting, crumbled up, dehydrated, Mo Shmo Abdul backwards. You know? And it hurt my feelings. And finally, my dad just walked outside the door. We were eating dinner. And he just went outside and just stood there and looked at them. And they did it a couple times, and he just stood there and looked at them. And they were so ashamed of themselves that one of the girls started crying. And they left. You know? And he didn't have to say anything. Crumbled up, dehydrated, Mo Shmo Abdul backwards. I was 9 years old. I still remember that to this day. And it's silly, but that's how much it hurt me, that I remember it to this day with that clarity. He came back inside. He didn't say a word. He just sat down, and we went back to eating dinner. He handled it with dignity, with reserve, didn't have to yell, didn't have to say a word, and they dispersed. And yet today there are people who make up names, have to come up with names for the people they don't like. And we're not talking about someone who... No, we're talking about heads of state. What does that say about us as a society? What does that say about us as a people? I think what it says is that we are going through a change. We are going through changes. And it says a lot about the time itself. It says a lot about who we are and where we've been. And more importantly, it says a lot about where we're going. It's obvious. But when we are a culture of ridicule and harassment, you know, I've been through ridicule and harassment before. That to me is a culture of fear. When we make fun of something, when we make fun of something, you see, I think it means that we're afraid of it because we don't understand it. When we make fun of someone walking down the street in a hijab, you see, or when we make fun of a man walking down the street in white, in a white outfit, let's say from Saudi Arabia or from somewhere in the Middle East, which indicates that he's a Hajj, which means he went to Mecca. I've seen people make fun of him. When I was in my freak days, when I was a hippie freak, and cowboys threw beer at me, cans of beer, unopened cans of beer, which when they hit me, they hurt like hell. But I got beer out of it. So it was, you know, one of those mixed things. You had to let them calm down before you opened them, but what the heck? And it wasn't that they hated me. They didn't even know me. Some of the kids actually had gone to grade school with me and had been my friends. So they would yell my name before they threw the beer at me. They knew me. And had been friends of mine, you know. So instead of just yelling, hey, hippie, they would yell my name. Then yell, hey, hippie. Because they wanted to make sure that they, you know, that I knew who threw them. But what is that, that loathing? There's fear there. In the 1967 war, the 7-day war, between Israel and Egypt. We got threats. My family did. That was no fun. We had to get an unlisted phone number. That was no fun. My mom did a ceramic bowl. It was beautiful. Someone drew a Star David in the middle of it with a glaze. She didn't fire it. She just left it the way it was. I used to get death threats all the time. I finally got an unlisted number. That was years ago. And I don't know what that is, you know? It's something that's constant. It seems that we as human beings, we have this need to find someone to pick on. We have a need to give someone a moniker, to put a hook on them and hang something on them. And you know, I just think that we should be beyond that. That we should be bigger than that. And I think you and I are. I'm not saying I've always been bigger than that. But I want the world to be a better place. And as more and more of us look to a light that shines in a way that says, I'm tired of war. I'm tired of ignorance. I'm tired of greed. Oh my God. And it's in metaphysics too. We can't kid ourselves. There are some terrible people involved in the world of the metaphysical realm. You know, there are some terrible people involved in the movement who do nothing but sit around and rub their hands together and figure out how to pick pockets. My God. You know, there are some culty people out there. And there's some really rapacious people out there. God knows I've met them. God knows they make me sick to my stomach. It doesn't do any good to talk about them. I'm not associated with any of them, okay? Anymore. That's it. And they know who they are. And you know what? They don't care. They don't care how they justify it, I don't know. How they do that, I don't know. But there are good people in it too. There are good people in it too. My goodness. You know? My goodness. Used to be able to walk into the 12th house bookstore and you could just walk in and you would just feel like it's home. It still feels like that to me. You know? Man. Good people. Mark and John are good people. And they really do their best to bring in the best there is. It's a good outfit. There are some terrible outfits out there. But you know what? That's the way the world is. And it doesn't matter where you are. You have to use your intuition. I've gotten dragged into some things because I'm naive. I trust everyone, and maybe you do too. But we have to begin to start saying, okay, I just got to feel a little bit, but we'll talk someday about that part of us that just opens up our hearts and says, ah, sunshine, light, ha, ha, ha. Yeah. It's just one of those things. I am indeed the world's worst businessman. That's just all there is to it. I'm not a real world person. I'm not. I'm terrible at real world things. You know? If I didn't have a keeper, I'd be living on the street somewhere, probably. I'm just not real world material. Just not. Never have been. There are things I can do. I can figure out the gematria of things in an Aleister Crowley deck. I can design my own deck. I can do Vedic astrology. I can do a lot of things. I can figure out the magical elemental forces if I need to. But you know what I can't do? Real world stuff. God, to me that's just confounding. Yeah. I've been swindled. But you know what? That's the fool card. That's the society we live in. The people who do that stuff, honestly, those people are the ones who run things. And maybe that's why we live in the world we do. You know? I'd rather live in a world where I look at a puppy and watch her grow up and say every day, I love you with all my heart and soul, and I know how valuable you are. I know what a wonder you are. And I'd rather look at the people in my life every day and say, I love you. And I'd rather have a friendship that lasts intensely for as long as it lasts, and then one day have someone say, I can't be your friend anymore, and have it tear my heart out of my chest and say, okay, but it was wonderful while it lasted. Because that's the truth of life. Things like that happen. You know, things like that happen. I'm intense, and maybe you are too, but I think that's how we should live, intensely, because life is intense. But it shouldn't be rude, and it shouldn't be filled with demeaning other people by calling them stupid names, silly names, pejorative names. We should treat people with respect. We shouldn't make up schoolyard names. We should treat people with the respect that they deserve as human beings. You know, it's silly to demean other people to make ourselves feel better. We deserve better. And what does it say about the people who do it? It says that they're insecure. And it says that they're trying to make themselves feel better about themselves, and it says that they think they're better than other people when in fact they're not. And it makes me feel sorry for them. I can't help it. Because we who understand the pleasure of life, the joy of living, the greatness of this existence and the wonder of it all, yeah, we got it pretty good. It is filled with pain. And it is rife with loneliness at times, and stress and confusion and paranoia at times. But it's our life, and it's ripe with fruit and wonder and joy and happiness. And yes, sorrow. But we feel it, and we live it. And we love it. And yeah, sometimes we pretty much are annoyed by it. But it's ours. And you know what? Tain't no one gonna take it away from me. Even if they do, still mine. And it's yours. Right? Darn tootin'. Let's talk about magic sometime. There's magic in them thar hills. Dagnabbit. And it's ours. All we have to do is saddle up that Rocky Mountain Canary. Because our wife done kicked us out. And go mine it. All right. That's enough for this week. Don't you agree? Until next week, my friends, I wish you all peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
To the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July, yeah. 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think, just a moment ago, I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy, because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's good. We have saltwater taffy in Estes Park, and of course, I'm not sure what that has to do with the mountains, but it's pretty good stuff. And in Montpelier, Vermont, they have flooding, and that's Vermont is the same sort of thing. A lot of tourism. And this is the most popular time of year to be there. And so, what are they going to do? Because the flooding has been horrible. Montpelier is underwater right now. And of course, in many parts of the country, it is so incredibly hot that it's just crazy hot. And that's the only way to put it. 120 degrees. They're talking about 125 degrees in some places. We have